Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We got a spooky episode for you. Thankfully, we're coming in after a Bison win. Always love. We have a different energy when the boys win.
Yeah, on Saturdays, absolutely.
So
happy Halloween, everyone. Me and Zach are in studio dressed as old fat guys.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's really scary that. What do they say? The reality is scarier than, I don't know, something. Somebody finish that for me. We're off to a hard start here. The Bison played Illinois State.
Before we get started on the game, I texted you. I think it was the first text I sent you during the game. If I'm not there, and I know you are, I usually text you for a couple updates. Mm-hmm. I respect any team going out of their way trying to make, you know, a difference logo-wise or uniform-wise. I respect the effort, but those helmets they wore stunk.
Yeah.
And the problem is, so our harvest helmets, the green ones.
Good.
Very good. But everyone knows it's not the exact same green as the jerseys.
Yeah, but I think it's close enough.
It's close enough, but they do a lot with the helmet. I mean, it's the corn thing or whatever that goes across the top.
The green color is not the main attraction of it.
The red helmet they wore, it was too different of a red, and then they just had ISU on the as their logo.
Right.
Throw a bird on it.
Yeah.
Like they're the red birds. Like you can make it look cool.
Yeah, and
cuz I really think it was the logo. If they would have had an actual bird on their helmet instead of just the lettering, it would have looked way better.
Well, it's
and it just didn't fit the uniform either.
It's my bigger problem I think with most of the uniform designers in college. I think they just mail it in to do something different. Color match your red.
Right.
And do a matte. Because the mat was like really overplayed. I think Oregon did it a bunch and it just got
they were killed. Probably the originators.
And it just like everybody had a mat helmet and I'm like kind of over it. But now it's fewer and far between. You see a lot more of the glossy helmets and stuff like that. I really like a mat helmet, especially like the Harvest. I mean, that's it's so good.
Lemoore has black mat helmets. They're
and Lemoore has swag. We've discussed that off.
Way too much swag for an Ironman football school.
Yeah, big game for them this Saturday.
Semis.
Yeah.
Quarterfinals were close.
Playing Brock Robbins.
Cavalier. The rematch of last year's state championship. Yeah. I still have nightmares about Cavalier, so hopefully they can just.
Dude, they were so sick when we were in high school. I didn't play against them, but like
My junior year, they had 13 seniors on a 9-man football team.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
You had like 13 players. We had like
16 guys.
Yeah. It's also the problem that I have with the Vikings uniforms. It's a different purple in the helmet than on the jersey. Yeah, different purple.
It makes no sense because like you can just match it.
Right.
I don't know how.
But they don't.
But you can do it. Like, it's possible.
Yeah, or just make the purple in the jerseys different. Like, match one of them, but it stinks. And our good friend Jack Albrecht, friend of the program, friend of us, hope your collarbone's healing up, buddy. Jack fell off his bike, so everybody... tweet him your well wishes.
That's what you get for trying to get skinny again.
Yeah, that's on you. Just stay fat. You don't get hurt.
True.
You just die early.
Yeah, and like your knees and your ankles hurt every morning. But
yeah, but he said like a black helmet with a bird would have been a cool alternate, like a shiny black helmet. Yeah.
Well, even the helmet they wore, and I know this is getting way too into the details. Last year, when the boys wore like the throwbacks from the 60s. Mm-hmm. That kind of helmet with like an old school jersey like that would have worked, but like they still had their like newer jerseys, like their normal jerseys, and it's like they kind of did like a throwback helmet with it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The ISU kind of stunk. Like do a cool font or something.
Right. How many ISUs are there? Like
a million.
Yeah.
But actually, talking about football,
boo.
We mentioned it in the like last week's episode that it's always a grinder against Illinois State. Coach Spack always has those guys fired up, ready to go. See that?
Same thing with Boshen Beckler.
Yeah, he always had them ready to go. But they always play hard. They're well-coached. Even when they're lacking in talent, they can hang with teams that they really have no business doing so.
Well, and then, like, he just kind of has, like, honestly, he kind of has the balls that, like, not a lot of other teams do against NDSU.
Yeah.
He just says, screw it. Like, we are going to put 8 or 9 in the box. And I don't care. And he's like, we're going to keep doing it. He's like, even if you guys run for 200 yards, I'm just going to keep 8 in the box. It does not matter.
Yeah, or like we're going to blitz 7 every play.
And dude, that quarterfinals game a couple years ago, they just did double fire for the entire game. And it was nuts.
Yeah, it's just I like it. It means it means that they're aggressive enough to like pull out all the stops to try to beat NDSU when they know they're lacking in talent. And we saw it again this week. I think I talked to one of the guys after the game on the O-line, and they're like, it's probably 80% plus pressure, which is a crazy clip for them to be pressuring at, which makes the win from NDSU all more impressive.
Yeah, and I don't think they were – I mean, and I think I remember Blazek talking about this when we played them. This was one of the teams, might have been the only one, with just the offensively speaking, with the style of defense they play, they are, like, schematically, they are going to get TFLs.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a few here and there. Like, it's just what they do. So, we just can't, you know. I remember going into those two games in 2019, just like kind of knowing it's going to happen once in a while.
Yeah.
But, like, we just still need to keep moving the ball forward. And I know they had a few the other day, but I think they handled it pretty well. I mean,
yeah. I think you live and die with the blitz with a team like that. Because, like, you either get caught with a screen or somebody misses a run fit.
And 94 and 5, I don't know their names, they were starters in 2019.
Yeah.
Those boys have been there forever.
Yeah.
Like, actually forever.
Old guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think that makes the Bison win all more impressive.
At
home, there was good energy in the dome for the most part. I think towards the end of the second half, people started to file out.
Sure.
But it's always good to beat Illinois State because I wouldn't consider them a rival, but it's definitely a game that is never, like we can talk about this week, where it's never like, hey, we got this one marked up. It's a W.
And I know that first game in 2019, we beat on them pretty good. But just because we had, like, I think we had two explosives to start the game.
And we were also, like,
Ty had a run. I think Kobe had a big return. And
Christian
then
had his screen.
Towards the end of the game. Yeah, that screen to Christian.
Yeah. But, that was when
he dropped the ball, like, he was crossing. I think he did make it.
I think so, too.
We didn't have, like, a definitive look on film that week, but, like, you could kind of tell where his legs were.
And the coaches were, like, kind of joking, like, ha-ha, Christian, don't do that anymore. But it wasn't joking.
No.
Like, cross the goal line and hand the ball to the right.
Yeah, I looked because I think we won by 17 on Saturday. I look back, look at the scores previous five meetings. I think we beat them an average of 16.45 or something like that.
Sure.
So, I mean, on par for what that game usually is.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's counting because 2019 beat them by 34 in the regular season just because hot start and then obviously the 9-3 playoff game. So pretty consistently just, you know, possession win is what we usually get on these guys.
That 2019 regular season game was so shocking too because I think they had more talent than they did this year. Or previous teams.
Yeah, I mean, their offensive line. D-line, because the
John Ridgeway. Yep.
That 94, Luan, I think is actually his name. And that number 5. Those three were really good.
Yeah.
And they proved it again in the quarterfinals. But then, obviously, Robinson.
Yep.
That was his senior year.
Yeah. And Drew Himmelman, I believe, was still the left tackle.
Their center's still the same.
That's so crazy.
That Bones kid.
He's big dude.
Yeah.
Big dude.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so I guess
they got to be in all the guys we mentioned. They have to be in their last year, right? They just all must be COVID seniors, like Cody.
Yeah, like my grade. Yeah,
yeah.
I think. Well, I mean, Quinn just dropped a nugget. So whenever we play Illinois State again, you know how to bet them. You know it's going to be around that 16.5 mark. So.
Yeah.
We're just a couple sharps here talking about sports betting in a state that you can't sports gamble.
Don't fade us.
But they're tough, man.
They are.
It's never like you really break them. I think we did in that 2019 regular season, but...
Yeah, just because it happened so quick.
But to come back and play in that playoff game like they did, that shows you how tough they are.
Right.
We beat them by 6.
Yeah.
So, I want to start the preview for this week off by saying, like, all due respect, like in Ricky Bobby, but Western Illinois stinks, man.
They're 0-8.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to get around it. I mean, obviously, if you're Western Illinois this week, you got to think, like, if there's any year that, you know, just because of what NDSU's put on film.
Right.
Like, they haven't, like, been, like, necessarily the same, like, dominant. There is, like, a couple flaws here and there, but if you're Western...
Okay, so
if you're NDSU, you got to think to yourselves, this is like Western's, like, they're 0-8. They literally have nothing to use.
Right.
They might throw the craziest stuff at you that you've seen all year.
Right. So here's the point I want to make. This is ultimate letdown game territory because you're in Macomb. no energy. There were more people at Lemoore's quarterfinal game on last Saturday.
Probably pretty close.
Then there will be. Honest. Okay, so let's put it this way. They're 0-8. They drop one to Missouri State 64-14, but they lose to Youngstown 28-27.
Yeah, they're a little bit better at home, I think.
Yeah, and then you get so they lose to Northern Iowa 52-17, but they lose to South Dakota State 34-10.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you give them energy, man, like something could happen. They're still on scholarship, but it's we talked about in the group chat. We need a clean, dominant game from NDSU.
And like I don't know, we're kind of both. Sometimes I still look at things as players, like as a player, obviously I'm not. And sometimes I look at things as like a fan. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan looking at this, this could still be a letdown game if they win.
Right.
Similar to Indiana State. I mean, we said it like when it happened, obviously, like you do. A win's a win, no matter what. But if NDSU goes in there and they win 30-21 or something, or 25, it's like a one possession game. Very gross.
Feels gross.
You don't want to do that, especially now. You just had a good win.
Yeah.
First half was like a normal, honestly, Illinois State, NDSU half.
Yeah.
Really feeling each other out, like boxers or whatever.
Yep.
Like just seeing what the other team's throwing at you.
Like Jake Paul.
Yeah, like Jake Paul, best boxer of our generation. Mm-hmm. That's my champion. But really just seeing what they're giving you. And then second half, they had a really good second half. Shut them out. Wait, did they shut them out?
Yeah. Illinois State scored before half.
Yeah. So
they scored in the first half.
Yeah, so NDSU shut them out the second half. They got rolling offensively, scored, you know, a couple more touchdowns. And like we said, that's how those games usually go. So I feel like they feel good about that because Illinois State's a good team. But yeah, they have two games in a row now against, obviously, Western, who's really not, they're just bad this year. Mm-hmm. And then Southern, who's having a disappointing year.
Right.
And then they finish out the year at UND, but, lowercase u, capital ND.
Yeah.
But I think they just want to like keep going up and up and up.
Yeah.
And if you win, if Western's a one score game, I don't know if that's, they're probably, if they win by one score, it's probably a worse performance than what they just put on, which you don't want at this time of the year.
Right. And that's the hard part, is you add in all the factors of there being 250 people there. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a weird time.
The one thing, it's not, it's 1 o'clock.
Oh, it's 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Good.
That's what Google told me. Maybe they're wrong. But I saw 1 o'clock and I actually was way more excited for a 1 o'clock start there than a 7 p.m.
Yeah, dude, when we played at 7, it was like,
yeah,
it felt like we were playing like a primetime game in Macomb,
right,
Illinois.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, I think you just need to, it seems like everybody's peaking right now, or on the way.
Right.
On the way to peaking.
The good teams will. The good teams are going to be playing their best ball the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, guys played clean on Saturday against Illinois State.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was whatever, tied at half, whatever the score was. And coaching staff went in, made adjustments at halftime, and they beat them by 17.
Yeah.
Is what you wanted to see. It was very encouraging. I just, from a, like you said, from a player's perspective, you're like, yeah, a win's a win when you go play Western Illinois. But I would also be like, if we beat them by 3, that's gross.
Tough.
Don't want to see that, especially going into Southern Illinois.
Yeah,
who's a much better team than Western Illinois?
Yeah, and the last
come in and beat you,
right? And then obviously the last time they went there, you were part of the team.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't have to bleep this out. Got their ass kicked.
Yeah,
and then the time before that in 2019, I think we won by one score, mm-hmm. and that place was packed.
Yeah,
that was the year. That was the first year they were kind of on the up and up.
Yeah,
and
they were like screaming at us.
Yeah,
and
they
stuff.
Sold it out. I mean, it was actually a cool place to play.
It was.
So I feel like Southern, they're having a disappointing year, but I think there's still maybe a way they can make it. Who knows?
5-4, but if you win out,
yeah,
they have 2 games left. They're 7-4 and have an NDSU win. If, God forbid, that's the case,
right.
I don't know how the playoff keeps them out. But they've done crazier things. So
right. So, like, assuming they win this week and NDSU wins this week, you know, their playoff hopes could be on the line for that game. So,
yeah,
we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but obviously we just want to keep seeing the boys just on the up and up. That's all we want.
Yep, and this week was a encouraging step towards that.
Yeah, for sure.
Just want to, like you said, keep it going. against Western Illinois. It's a hard place to do. It genuinely is. And I think not in what they'll face talent-wise, but how the game itself will be, like you wrote in the notes here, bring your own energy. It'll be a test for the guys.
Right. A group that is getting healthier for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to see Hoy's back out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This could be.
Was he a freshman in 2020? Or did he not get there till last year?
I think he was there in 2020.
Okay.
I want to say. The people just start to blend together in years. I don't know who was who.
My apologies to any of the freshmen that were in 2020. If you weren't an O-lineman, I probably did not know you at all.
You still don't really know the O-lineman freshman either.
It was Gray and Mason and Hayden, right? Yeah. Or is that a year?
No, that was them.
Okay.
I think. Pro Bison update. Nothing really unfortunate. We're hoping Christian bounces back soon from a concussion.
He was obviously
slow on the ground, and then he got up. We weren't really sure what happened. It was encouraging that the concussion protocol is in a spot where they just take your helmet and walk you to the locker room.
Right. And I don't know. This sounds a little conspiracy theory of me, but like with how the NFL is now with concussions, because the how the whole Tua thing went, maybe they just classify anything from like shoulders up as concussion.
Sure.
Because when he got hit,
like hockey, like it could either be like a stub toe or a blown out.
Because I don't want to
lower half.
Yeah, I don't want to assume anything, but some that, and I've never actually got tackled like that, obviously.
Yeah.
But like we both had stingers, so it could have just been a stinger too. Because sometimes when you get stingers, you can't move either.
And.
But, I mean, no matter what, it was a good sign that he just walked into the locker room.
Yeah. I know, like, Ross texted us that they had brought up the backboard, and I'm like, oh, God, that's scary.
Right.
But he walked off on his own power. So, good to see. And to be honest with you, the Bills are wagging. The Packers weren't winning that game anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Just keep them healthy.
Yep.
But.
Speaking of keeping you healthy, let's talk about Tundra Insurance, Quinn.
Yeah. God, what an intro.
Two of the healthiest guys I know running out here, Ross Uglum and Quinn Ollo.
Yeah.
They won't keep you healthy, no promises, as their services as a dietitian, but they can keep you safe and insured if, God forbid, any unfortunate circumstances happen. Quinn, give us a rundown of your guys' services out here.
Yeah, we're at Tundra Insurance here in Horace, the building right south of Big Irv's in Horace. Me and Ross, we're here Monday through Fridays. We'll help you with any of your insurance needs. When you go into, you know, some of those bigger carriers that can only quote you out for one price, sometimes you'll be taking a risk. Here at Tundra Insurance, we can quote out with 20 different carriers and get you a price and a policy that best, you know, fits you and your needs.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. You can reach us at 701-969-1661. You can follow us at Tundra Insurance on Twitter. Just got that made. And then you can also like our page, on Facebook, just Tundra Insurance.
Yeah. Insurance is always something that, like, you know, me being a person who has car insurance and has business insurance, you just kind of like groan. You're like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. But you guys make it as painless as possible. So,
yeah. And you know that it's just us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have any problems or questions, you know, you can just reach out to us, and we're the ones that reach out to the carriers. You don't have to sit on the line for hours trying to talk to a customer service rep.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, I actually had something happen with the billing with my Big Deck insurance. And, you know, I gave Ross a call. I said, hey, how can we figure this out? He gave me a direct line to our provider's number, and I talked to them, figured it out. And whereas, like, if I called whoever else, I'm waiting on somebody to pick up the phone, and it's somebody I've never talked to, and it's somebody I will not talk to ever again.
Right.
So, shout out you guys. And this is obviously a cause near and dear to my heart, but it's always good to support small business, which you guys are. So
appreciate that. Come
give Tundra Insurance a shout and see how they can talk to you guys about your insurance needs.
Yeah. Before we get on to what we're going to talk about next, I just want to, I guess, thank everyone for listening.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done that a lot. We're kind of idiots when we step into the room and start talking.
We are the ultimate, like, we don't think anybody's listening. Yeah. Like, it's just two idiots talking in a room. We kind of forget that this does go out to the public.
Yeah, so, no, we do appreciate everyone listening and all the support. We're going to keep doing this for a while. We haven't really talked to Ross about the off season or anything, so.
Yeah, but we're also,
we'll let you guys know if we if it is just a seasonal thing or if we're going to keep going. Or
like, you and I.
What the deal is.
And obviously this is. But you and I will call and talk to each other about dumb stuff for an hour every day anyway.
So yeah, so this is pretty much just getting our talks out of the way.
It probably wouldn't be like Bison coverage or Bison related. There'd be stuff we could probably talk about with spring ball and stuff like that. But like, we might just sit here and talk about our favorite movies or something.
Yeah, who knows? But
yeah, no, I want to shout out you guys too. We've had a lot of people like stop us in the tailgating lot or, you know, shoot us messages that you guys are listening. We really do appreciate it. We take a lot of pride in it. I think it's something that we like to do, and we like producing a good product. So,
yeah. So if you are listening, the one thing I'll ask, we do. I think we post. Yeah, we post on Wednesday mornings when this comes out. I post, and you know, Zach posts. I'm pretty sure on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places. If you see those posts, just share it or retweet it.
Yeah,
get the word out there. Yeah.
See a friend, send a friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That being said, we are now in week 11, right?
Yeah.
Every show does this, so we figured, you know, 11 weeks in might be a good time to start.
We're doing segments.
We
baby.
Are doing segments.
Let's go.
We kind of unofficially named segments.
Yeah, we're workshopping it. So,
yeah.
One, if you have
an idea of names.
Yeah, if you have an idea of names or you have a suggestion for these segments, like we're going to do, like we did last week, this, it's either starting five, bottom five, or five up, five down, or starters and bench warmers. I don't know what we're going to call this, but like,
we don't know yet.
If you have like a topic you want us to rank, just shoot them to us.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to talk about it, but,
we'll start with the first segment.
Next man up.
Next man up. Pretty much just, you know, a guy coming in, could be college, could be professional. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to keep it football related.
Yeah.
Because I just don't watch enough of any other sport.
Right.
But, yeah, just pretty much a bench warmer that, you know, second string, third string guy that has to come in for an injured player and has a good performance.
Balls out.
Yeah.
Not on here, but PJ Walker.
Yeah.
Goodness me, the Carolina Panthers quarterback coming in.
Very good.
The longest throw in air yards in the NFL this year, 67 yards on that dot to DJ Moore, who blew the game by taking his helmet off.
Just can't.
But guy was like epitome of a meat grinder.
Yeah.
Like was in XFL.
I think then, the AFL too, like one of those leagues. And then got picked up. Like
coming in and stepping in for Baker.
Buddy, speaking of, I don't want to get off our segment talk, but XFL names came out this morning, Monday. Yeah. They were all the normal names, you know, obviously The Rock has taken over the XFL with his partner. I think it's his ex-wife, but they're business partners.
Sure.
So all of the names are the same as the last XFL, except for one. The San Antonio Brahmas.
Brahmas? I don't know what that is.
When Dwayne The Rock Johnson was in the WWE, he was the Brahma Bull. The Rock.
That rocks.
So he named, and like he's actually went over it. He had a tattoo on his right arm that was just the Brahma Bull.
Okay. Is that what you see on like the Under Armour stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So he just said, you know, this is my league.
That's good.
San Antonio, you're the Brahmas.
Brahmas.
So this is officially a San Antonio Brahmas podcast.
Yep.
We'll get
rocks.
The merch.
I know you're listening. Send us some stuff.
Yeah. Send us some merch. We'll work out a deal with you, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll make room for it. But
if you're listening right now and you see the promo tweet, like with special guest at The Rock, that's why I'm doing it.
I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's sweet. Like it's a bull.
Right.
But he's just naming them the Brahmas.
Yeah, it rocks.
Sweet.
So, okay. So to the actual segment.
Yeah. PJ Walker.
Mr. Logan Kopp, man.
Came in for K's.
Played with his hair on fire.
Yeah. And he's been in a couple times this year, whether it's injuries, but I think he started.
Yeah. And he was rotational earlier in the year, which a young guy at linebacker getting rotation where, you know, there's some spots that are solidified for that crew. And he came in. Excuse me. Go ahead. Keep talking. I have to sneeze.
The
talk. We're keeping this in.
No, he played really well.
Okay, we're good.
Oh, dang it. I wanted to catch the sneeze that on here. That was mean of you. Yeah, he played really well, and he just came in, and he's one of those guys who are just, I think he was last year's his first year. Or is he a true freshman this year? I don't even know.
No, second year this year.
Yeah, he just looks like a guy that is really, like, it just looks like, for a young guy, yeah, it just looks like the game has slowed way down for him.
Yeah.
I don't even remember a time where it looked fast to him, but a guy that young, you can just tell that he sees the game slow.
And he flew around on specials. Yeah. Like, he had a couple tackles on kickoff.
Where most of those young up-and-comers kind of make a name for themselves. Special teams.
It's where you get found on the NDSU. But Ross tweeted that video of him fitting. We talked about fitting run gaps and stuff like this for that linebacking crew, and it's been a kind of a weak spot in the defense. Woo! He sees it and he goes, man. He stuck the running back from Illinois State 4 yards deep in the backfield. And then I remember a play where I think it was a wide receiver screen or a bubble or something to the flat, and you just see him flip his hips and sprint to the sideline and makes a play. And he's really exciting. And like Ross had pointed out to me, I don't follow the recruiting as much, and I kind of focus on guys when they get here and all that. But they said, you know, if Kopp is 2 inches taller, he's playing in the Big 12 right now.
Sure.
Like he was a baller coming out, and he's proving it.
Yeah, absolutely. Next on the list is our guy Gray.
Young Gray Zabel. As much as I don't want to give him compliments, I think we're going to do it right here.
Yeah, he came in at right tackle I'm not sure what happened there, but he came in at right tackle and just played really well.
Yep.
And he's been a guy that's just been consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since he got here.
Yep.
I think we knew when he was a freshman in 2020. Told you I remember those freshmen.
Atta baby.
We could kind of just tell. I mean, then he was just undersized, so it was just hard for him to play guard and center.
Yeah, and he's just a goofball.
Yeah.
And he just dogs people, man. He's a good football player.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys. He knows how to turn the switch on and off the football field.
I want to say, 'cause
he's mean when he gets on there.
Right.
He just knows, like, this is football. Like, and like that's something like I had trouble with. I never know how to flip the switch. Like,
right.
And like you can tell with Gray, he knows how, and he goes out there and he's a utility guy.
He's playing all five.
He can play all five legitimately.
Yeah.
Because I remember Vlasic had him at center like that whole first year.
Yeah, and he played left tackle too.
And he was a good center.
Yeah.
It's not like he was at center and he was like, oh, I don't know if this guy, like,
right.
And then he would like go play tackle and guard. And it's like, and then obviously in the spring when you guys had all those injuries during that spring season, he ended up starting
at right guard.
Yeah. At right guard. And yeah, he can just play wherever, man. And he did a really good job.
Yeah, don't take too much from this, Gray. I'm only talking nice, but because this is going out in public. And then my guy, man.
Our guy.
The guy who is living my dream.
Yeah.
He could have been Zach Willis in another life, but he's Brandon Westerberg, and he is just killing it, man. He just somebody you always knew was smart enough to step in and play whatever spot that you needed him to in the interior three. And losing Jalen is a huge loss. Jalen's a all-conference borderline all-American guy, and Westy steps in and doesn't miss a beat. And that kind of just speaks to his character that we knew the whole time when we played with him.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys, like, in – so, what, he would have been freshman in 2019? That would have been my first year.
Yeah.
When he came in, he was, like, definitely bigger than the other freshmen.
Yeah.
Stouter, just because he was, like, you know, a guard more than – because I think the other two were Rock and Pontius. Right. Those guys are, like, 7 feet tall.
Right.
But, like, Westy's, like, 6'3", 6'4". I don't know. Is he 6'3"? We'll give him 6'3".
He's like a U 6'3".
Westy 6'3" and a half.
Yeah.
But no, I think he was, as far as like his frame and stuff, he was kind of like almost already there.
Yeah.
I think he was like a little bit heavier too. So he was already in like the 280s when he got here.
He's a Mr. Football candidate in Minnesota.
Right. So like we always knew he was going to be good. And like by the time, even by the time like I left, he was already like a good football player. But it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
And like we dealt with it. You just never know if you're going to get your opportunity or not,
right,
when you're a backup.
Yeah.
You really don't. And you almost, like, you hope for it, but you almost don't. Because, like, if you get
somebody
your opportunity,
has to get hurt.
It's because someone gets hurt.
Right.
Right? So it's just, like, one of those things where, and I think Westy, too, is, because is this his junior year, technically, or is it sophomore?
This is junior year, I think.
Right. So, like, I think he was going to be a lifer.
That COVID thing just ruined everything.
We don't know anyone's eligibility.
Yeah.
But, like, assuming he's a junior this year, I think he's at the point where he's probably close to getting his undergrad. So, like, he was kind of in the position we were, where it's like, well, you're just going to be a lifer. Because,
right,
like, what are you going to do? Are you going to, like, some guys do it. Some guys go transfer to play another year,
mm-hmm,
to actually start and
yeah,
play
Joe Schreiber
somewhere else. Right. And, like, Joe is doing really well.
Yeah.
Second year starting for ETSU.
Yep.
And obviously they were a playoff team last year. We beat them in the quarters. Yeah. They're a good football team. But, yeah, you just figured, like, okay, Westy, like, he's probably going to be a lifer here. And he's you're going to get some time, and or he won't. But, like, you know, you knew he can play if he ever gets his opportunity. And
yeah, Westy was literally in the spot we were.
Yeah.
And it just fell that he's, like, showing what he can do, which I think every bench warmer at NDSU was capable of.
Yeah.
Like, we were told by many coaches, and we knew in ourselves that if we – if something happened where we were starting, we were serviceable enough to go get the job done. We weren't liabilities when we were out there. So it's just – it's cool that that gets proven, and Westy has that under his belt. And I think a guy that, however the O-line shakes out next year, he should get his shot at starting
full-time. Right, and with Cody leaving, obviously, and I think Jalen – I don't know if it's – I don't know if he's staying or if he's going, but assuming he's staying –
yeah.
Like, let's just say, assuming he's staying.
Right.
And I don't know about Kubis either, but there's definitely a chance that Westy's just starter now.
Yeah.
So, good for Westy.
I'm
happy for that dude. And he's like one of those dudes, too. He has, like, always had a good head on his shoulders.
Yeah.
There's never been a problem with that kid.
No.
Like, he's a good dude.
And I can't wait till he graduates so I can tell some stories about Westy. He knows what I'm talking about.
They lived in their house was right next to the, remember when me and Kendra lived in those apartments on 10th Street?
That was
their house.
That was Meat Sticks old house.
Sometimes I'd walk in there and I'd just be like, what are you guys doing in here?
Yeah.
But stories
till,
for another
wait
day.
Wait till they graduate.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be like a Patreon episode or
something. Yeah. No one's going to pay for this.
No.
Nor should they.
No, I don't blame anybody. This is another one we're workshopping. But yeah. I think it's cool to...
You'll get the point.
The WTF win of the week.
Yeah, pretty much just talking about either a blowout where you thought maybe someone would put up a fight or just a huge upset win.
And our guys, the coaching staff who recruited us, went down to K-State. They're rolling this year, man.
Yeah.
They are just personally victimizing the state of Oklahoma.
6-2, and I think they're 2. That one loss was to... TCU
and a ranked Tulane.
Yeah, that one, but that one to TCU, like they had it won and they gave it up. TCU, yeah. So they're a 6-2 ball club, and I mean they're hot,
genuinely vying for like a January or a New Year's Six bowl game.
Absolutely,
if they win out,
yeah,
because I think their next big obstacle is Texas, and if you beat Texas, like, and you, let's say TCU, like. It could shake out that they're playing TCU in the Big 12 championship.
The Texas one is scary, but I think that Kleiman's beat Texas before.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yep.
But
and Texas is, it's Texas.
But so. WTF win of the week is because 22nd ranked K-State just obliterated Oklahoma State, who was ranked number 9.
Yep.
48-0.
They rolled through them, man.
I mean, it was from the start. Yeah. So, like, I was seeing clips throughout the day, and then on Sunday, I'd, like, rewatch the condensed version of the game on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's sweet, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just going on YouTube and being able to be, like...
Watch a football game in 48 minutes?
Yeah.
It rocks.
Or, like, even 20.
Right.
Some of those. But pretty much the condensed version of the game was just Kansas State scoring touchdowns, creating turnovers.
Can we take a second and win over some fans in Manhattan? One, I want Deuce Vaughn on my professional football team.
He's so
and
cool.
Two, Deuce for Heisman. He's so sick.
So cool.
And this also strays a little bit. And I'm a Notre Dame fan for personal reasons. My uncle, before he passed, was a huge Irish fan, and he instilled that in me. But we have family in Tennessee, and I've been to Knoxville. I want to be a Tennessee Volunteer fan so bad, but I feel weird having two college teams.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
So I like cheer for them, but not publicly. It's so cool to see. And guess who can play spoiler that weekend when we're headed to Nashville? Mr. Blazek could go in and ruin national title hopes for the Tennessee Volunteers.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be so crazy.
I'm here for it, though.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. He's cool.
Very cool.
And he's probably going to win the Heisman. Where
did, because Georgia? Did he go to Georgia?
He's Virginia Tech.
Oh.
He was in Blacksburg with Quincy.
Interesting.
Yeah. A weird full circle moment to the Bison. Weird. But
yeah, K-State. They climb in, Sierra Isles.
Klanderman.
Klanderman and Co. They just, I think they have, like, they really got down there. I think their first couple years they were like, they were just, you know, 6-6, 5-7.
Yeah.
But they were just getting their guys in. And I'm happy for Kleiman because obviously the Gene Taylor connection was big for him getting that job. Just yep. Gene knowing who Kleiman was, what he could do with like a full recruiting class.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't see that. And like the college is turning more and more into the pros where like you see guys get kicked out after 2 years. And he's like, yeah, but like college is all about recruiting and development, and especially NDSU/Bowl/Kleiman, you know, guys that went to NDSU and had success.
Yeah.
Well, they had success because like there's a system there and a process that like works.
I think the bigger thing too.
And so guess what? It's been 4-19. 20 was like a half a year for them because right. like they played like 6 games or whatever. Right. So like 19, 20, and 21, it's his fourth year. Well, guess what? The recruits he recruited in 19 are now like juniors.
Yeah.
So like this is what happens when you can recruit and develop kids.
Yeah, and instill your culture is a bigger thing. When you go in and go 5-7 and 6-6 at a program with tradition like K-State, it's easy to just – Cannon, we need somebody else. But I think what a lot of fans don't realize is the grass is always greener, and who's going to come in and do a better job?
Yeah.
When you're going 5-7 and 6-6, and but you're building a program that creates sustainable wins and sustainable culture, it takes a little bit to do it. You have to what was always on our t-shirts? It was always trust the process.
Yeah.
And as bad as it sucked, and you know, you might disagree with things we're doing, you can't argue with the success, and that's what Coach Kleiman did. I know C. Riles like is such a culture setter there. Shout out to my guy. It's so cool that he went to a place that, one, he knows the athletic director and Gene Taylor, but also has the trust of the fan base and the players that they're turning it around and they're reaping the benefits right now.
Yeah, and like almost like an extra kudos to them because we talk about buying in here, right? It's not easy to buy in. But it makes it easier because you look at the success, the recent success, and you're like, okay, they won 9 out of the last 11.
Right.
They lose, you know, on average 1 game a year, maybe 2.
Right.
For Kleiman and co, when they went down there, that's they're asking kids to buy in, and then they go, you know, 5-6.
Right.
Like, it's tough for those kids to stay around.
It's like what Bowl did turning around.
But I think they did at K-State. And like, perfect timing. Not that like Oklahoma and Texas have, like Oklahoma has, but Texas hasn't ran the Big 12. But guess what? They're gone next year.
Yep.
Like, this could, like, the Big 12 could be K-State's.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in, like, it could be K-State and TCU for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. And now they're in a spot like,
they could dominate the Big 12.
And they came to NDSU and they won games with no stars, 1-star, 2-star players, right? They're at K-State. It's a Big 12 school with program. They can recruit 4 stars and snag a 5-star here and there. I don't know how often that happens. I know they've had a couple quarterback recruits that were 4 stars, but they get a lot cooler, fun toys to employ all this stuff with. And like I said, it's showing, vying for a January 6th bowl.
Yeah.
So New Year's bowl.
Before we end with K-State, I needed one thing. Their logo stinks.
Especially
that logo is bad.
I don't know, dude.
It's a side profile. It's like the Longhorns, except you could say that's any kind of wild animal. No one knows that is a wild cat. You know,
I would be contradicting myself because it looks like the Minnesota Wild logo.
That logo's
like where you just, it's right here. You don't know what it is, but
the K-State logo sucks.
The problem is they have a super cool retro one that they've worn before with the cat holding the flag or whatever. Yeah. Go back to that.
Yeah.
But it's a whole thing. It's like the power cat. And
I suppose.
Ema baby.
But
every man a Wildcat.
Great win.
Yep.
By the Wildcats.
Shout out K-State.
Yeah. Shout out K-State.
All our guys there.
I guess. We could still beat them.
I don't know. They're kind of nice.
Deuce Vaughn. We couldn't even buy Deuce a beer right now. He's 20. I looked him up. Yeah. He's 20 years old.
Deuce is so cool.
He must, because like this is his third year with him, right? I'm pretty sure he was a 2020 guy.
Yeah. And so he was old.
He must have been like a Jake Kubis, like not 18 when you got on campus.
Right. Young guy.
20.
Yeah. and he dogs people, man. He's sick. He doesn't look real on the field.
No. That touchdown run he had, he looked animated. Right. Because he's so small. But people talk about it all the time.
Should have been playing on it. Like,
They list him at 5'6".
Which means he's 5'4".
How tall is he?
Right.
Because they list a Ty at like 5'10". Like,
not 5'10".
No.
But.
Shut up, Ty.
Yeah. He's small, right? And like.
But he's kind of thick.
I think that
kind of like pinballs off of people. That
makes him, I think he could play in the league.
Absolutely.
How big was Darren Sproles? 5'7"?
Listed. 5'8"?
Yeah. He was also an 800-pound squatter, so take that for what you will. Yeah. But
K-State and these
freak show small guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
I think Deuce will be a leaguer.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
He's good. K-State's good.
Yep. It's awesome. They have another, his name is escaping me, but their wide receiver number 4, he's sick too.
Yeah. Oh, the Knowles.
Yeah, he's nice.
Very good.
He's nice. The other one that surprised me, and you wrote it in here, but I watched the game up in the press booth, was Wake Forest, Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville just blew them out.
And Wake Forest is a wagon on offense.
Yeah, because that quarterback, was it, what's his name?
Hartman.
Hartman, yeah. Because he's like kind of climbing up the ranks of draftable quarterbacks this year, but...
But Wake Forest went to a shootout with Clemson, like 48-47, whatever that game was. Yep. Early
in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like week one or two. I remember that now.
They score a bunch of points, and Louisville just said, get that out of here.
Just dogged them. Yeah. No, that's definitely and then, NFL.
A Seahawks-Giants was kind of shocking.
Yeah, but the Seahawks.
I think the Giants were fake good anyway.
I think they're good, but the Seahawks are the division leader in the NFC West.
Dino, bro.
Pete Carroll.
Did you see his comment after?
Yeah, that
he's like,
one.
That's for Ben McAdoo that you guys actually trusted me.
Yeah.
That's so good, like just so dunking good on them.
But, dude, I don't know. Because Pete Carroll, I watch a bunch of, daytime sports shows, and insiders will go on these shows and be like, the Seahawks think they're better than everyone thinks. And everyone watching the show and the show, like analysts, they're like, whatever. Like, the Seahawks stink.
Right.
Like, look at that roster and look at, at the Cardinals, Niners, and Rams.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks just dog people, too.
Yeah.
They just did it to the Chargers last week. Wasn't even close.
Oh,
Kenneth Walker, still the same sick Kenneth Walker that he was at Michigan State.
He's sick.
Geno throws for, I think he's, 73% on the year, efficient passer rating, or not passer rating, just accuracy.
Completion percentage.
Yeah.
And he
throws bombs.
Yeah, and... It was supposed to be like a rebuilding year. They didn't know if Drew Locke was going to beat out Geno. And they got rid of Bobby Wagner. And obviously they are not the same on defense since the Legion of Boom. But they fixed their O-line. Geno's playing out of his mind. And they're just riding a hot hand right now. And they're fun to watch.
They're 5-3. I think they're going into their bye week. They're the division leader. And all these guys that they've traded away
aren't doing anything.
Well, yeah, and then they're getting these draft picks.
Right.
Not that they have to draft guys, but just more picks that you can trade for other dudes to come in.
Right. I hope they don't get too smart, and I hope they keep riding Geno.
Oh, yeah, don't go and draft someone in the offseason.
Right. Especially with this quarterback class. I don't know who you would take that really excites you.
I like Stroud more than Young.
Yeah.
We've talked about
Bryce Young. Man.
He's so talented, but, he looks small.
He's the
so
other side small of the Deuce Vaughn conversation where it's I think he's too small to play.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm somehow related to CJ Stroud.
Shut up.
I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah. He's my fifth cousin through marriage or something.
So I'm going to give you money or something.
Yeah. I was on Facebook and I saw his mom was married to one of my uncles or something at some point.
That's closer than that then.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're making that up.
What up, Boos? Speaking of Ohio State Oos, that JT dude, that number 44, he had a pick six, a forced fumble, and did you see his stat lines?
No.
When they played Penn State?
Uh-uh.
It was so funny because the announcers just could not say his last name, so they just kept, because his first name's JT, or that's what they call him, JT. It's like Tamale Alu or something. Sure. Oh my gosh, dude. It was so funny because the end of the game, because I think it was, I want to say it was Gus and Klatt.
Sure.
But yeah, they just could not figure out how to say his last name. So they're just, oh, big play by JT. Like, they were just making up a nickname for him. But, dude, he had, like, one of the best defensive performances almost ever, like, single-handedly. I'm trying to – this is, like, great radio. I'm trying to actually find his –
You find it, King.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a whole lot of college football besides the Bison game. Just went home and we watched Netflix, Julia and I. It was a nice, relaxing Saturday.
Okay. You ready for this?
Yeah.
6 tackles, 3 TFLs, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a defensive touchdown.
Oh, my God.
That was his game.
Is he a linebacker?
He was a D end.
Jesus.
Dude. It was insane.
Come be a Charger, baby. Yeah, we'll just stack all these DNs.
This is actually his, what is it? Yeah, he's a true sophomore, so.
Yeah.
He's going to be like a, who's 31 for Bama?
Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Freak show.
Will Anderson.
Freak show.
Need.
Let him play Mike. And then the other one is Jalen Carter, 88 from Georgia, who was like a true sophomore and the best player on that defense last year.
Yeah, with 3 other guys on the D-line that got drafted.
Yeah, I think everybody on that defense
got drafted. 2 in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So crazy. But that's it for the WTF win of the week.
Yeah.
Keep talking again. I have another sneeze. Goodness me. Okay.
You need to sneeze louder.
No, I hold it in.
No, didn't Einstein die from holding in a sneeze?
It's just a couple geniuses who died from holding in a sneeze.
Yeah. Well,
it was meant to be.
He has proof that he's a genius.
If you listen back to this podcast, there's enough proof that I'm a genius. So
yeah.
Excuse me.
You thought Brock's back was Boshen Beckler 2 weeks ago.
You didn't correct me, so.
That's because I was literally stunned.
No, you weren't.
Because I thought I was the one with the CT in the room.
Speaking of being stunned. Let's be stunned at how good Big Dyck Barbecue is.
Oh, it's so good. Can we just, before you get into it, those throwback picks just took me back to a simpler time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a better time because we were just smack dab in the middle of COVID.
Right.
But right at the start.
Oh, yeah.
Because that first bottle, that was like right before it actually got
We were still shut down. It was May 2020.
Okay.
Is when we started.
Oh, it's crazy.
But it was like a bottle that was not heat proof. We weren't supposed to put hot barbecue sauce in it. And like, and we had like these little square stickers on it. Go see it. I posted it on our socials on Big Dyck BBQ on Facebook and on Instagram. But I brought samples to Shields in those bottles.
That's crazy.
And the fact that they didn't tell me to like get out and never come back is unbelievable.
Hey, but the picture, very good, what do you call it?
Staging.
Staging. Very good staging. Looks very cool.
We need to do that again.
Yeah.
But, it's kind of crazy how far we've come. That was a full circle moment that we're in this new packaging that hopefully we don't change anytime soon because I'm tired of doing that. Yeah.
So what is Big Dyck Barbecue up to 2.5 years later?
Well, we're headed into Pride of Dakota season.
Love it.
We are going up to Grand Forks this weekend, the weekend of the 4th and the 5th, I believe, is the days.
That's right.
So I will not be watching NDSU Western Illinois, but the 4th and the 5th will be up at Grand Forks. I want to say it's at the Alaris.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are big shows.
Big Quonset. The big chicken coop. We're headed up there. Come see us. It'll be me and my dad, maybe some other friends.
It's probably going to be the most people in that arena in a long time.
Yeah, by far. Most enjoyment in that arena, except for when I was at the Chris Stapleton concert up there. Heck of an ad read here, but we got the new packaging coming out. Everything is rolling. We are headed into holiday season, and nobody loves anything more than whoever you're buying barbecue sauce for when they open their stocking and it's Big Dyck Barbecue. So we're going to announce Christmas boxes soon. Still waiting on a design. That's going to be new this year. But you guys will hear about that when that happens. But like we said, support small business. We appreciate you guys. We wouldn't be where we are without a lot of the people who listen right now are customers of ours, and we appreciate you. So come see us if you have nothing to do and you want to drive an hour north. I know that's a big ask for the people listening to this podcast, but you're more than welcome. Come see us and buy some barbecue sauce.
That hour, I mean, off topic here, but that my previous job, I made that drive a lot.
Yeah.
That 75-mile north. It's a weird drive.
It's
you could almost
it's long and short.
You could almost do it blindfolded, yeah. Which makes it like almost even worse.
Right.
But
and it's just like
and you just get out.
You know you're done with you close your eyes and you know you're in Grand Forks by how it smells.
Yeah. All right.
I love Grand Forks. Come see us.
Last segment, and this is the one that we probably need the most help with the name.
Yeah.
It's what we did last week. We're going to name the top 5 and the worst 5, I guess, of like certain things the rest of the year. For yeah. now, we're yeah. calling it Stardom Sit'em.
Sure.
And it'll be Stardom, our top 5 of each category, Sit'em, the worst 5.
Yep.
And this week, I did my best to actually rank them. So.
Okay.
What do you want to start with?
Let's do movies first.
Yeah, let's do movies.
I think those will be less contentious, except...
Well,
like guys like Jack Albrecht, like I know I'm going to, how'd you forget this? Like, I'm not a movie buff. I just know what I like.
Okay, we're going to do, sorry, not in the spirit of Halloween, we're going to do best and worst horror movies,
not Halloween related movies. So no, like just this horror isn't, movies. This isn't like, we're not ranking Mike Myers and Monster House and Nightmare on Elm Street. Like it's horror movies.
Those could make the list.
Absolutely.
If we like them.
Absolutely. Yes. But it's not based around that. It's just horror movies.
We need to pronounce.
And also, I'm not like
I do a terrible job enunciating, so I'm going to leave that word up to you the rest of the time here.
What? What word?
Horror movies.
Oh, horror movies.
Yeah.
They know what we're saying.
Hopefully.
I mean, if we get like DMCA'd,
yeah,
red flag because of that, then we might as well just stop this podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
I'm not like, I also want to preface, I'm not like a movie guy. Like there's other forms of media I'd rather consume before I watch a movie if I have downtime. So let's start with the number 5 and then work to 1. My number 5 is, I believe it was called Hush. The woman lives. She lives in a,
me and Kendra just talked about this.
She
movie.
Lives in a cabin in the middle of the forest and she's deaf. And there's somebody breaking into her house, and she doesn't know.
Oh,
oh my God. Some dude. Of the... I like suspenseful movies rather than, like, yes. jump scare and gore. And, dude, that had, like, goosebumps, and I was, like, jumping at every noise in my house listening to that. Because that's a genuinely terrifying movie.
Well, dude, they did the thing where... Oops, my phone's doing something weird. They did the thing where, since she is deaf,
yeah.
not a lot, but like there are scenes in the movies where like they go to her, not point of view, but they just focus on her,
yeah.
and they don't have sound either. Yeah. So a lot of movies have the suspenseful music, but like you're sitting there and you think they're going to play music, but it's just nothing.
Yeah.
So it's
I don't want to spoil it because it could be on your list. It's not on mine, but it's the same kind of thing as Quiet Place. Where yeah.
I've only watched like half of the first one.
It's the... actual noises that would be happening mm-hmm. if you were in that scenario, and it's scarier than it's I don't count this as a horror movie, but my favorite movie of all time is No Country for Old Men. There's like 38 seconds total of music or sound effects. It's all just you're living in the moment watching it, which I think makes it scarier sometimes. So Hush is my number 5.
Right.
You want me to keep going?
Yeah, we're just gonna go and then the other person can.
Number 4, it was a little bit out there. And Jack Albrecht talked about that. A lot of Jack Albrecht reference in this podcast. He loves any attention he can get, so I know he's happy. A lot of talk from him about this one, and so I watched it. Was Hereditary.
Ooh.
Just yeah. like one of those ones that really messes with you. And I think that's what scares me more is not necessarily this, but like stuff that could happen. Like... And I'll get into what makes a bad horror movie to me, but like a lot of this stuff is true scenarios that could happen, and that makes it even scarier. Number 3, I'm going to go with Midsommar. I think it was just
great movie, but
it was
not
really
great
creative,
movie.
Really creative, and like took an aspect that I don't necessarily could be I don't necessarily think would be really considered a genre for horror or a topic for a horror movie. And they just knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Like, and I like slow burn movies. I know people don't really, like, they like stuff happening right away. Dude, talk about a slow burn. Like, nothing happens for 2 hours, basically, and then all of it happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. Kendra made me watch that movie, and then she made her parents watch that movie.
Yeah.
I think it's just because it was so, like, she had to watch it, so then everyone else had to.
Yeah.
Because, like, it didn't actually get scary till the end, mm-hmm. but so many things at the beginning and middle were just, like...
It was all like, adding up.
Like, traumatizing and, like, yeah. gross yeah. that, like, it was just, like, you felt uneasy watching it.
Yeah, the, like, the cliff jumping.
Oh,
horrible.
Yeah.
And I don't want to...
No.
I mean, if no spoilers or anything, we're not talking about what actually happened at the beginning either. But what I really like about it is you have to pay attention and you like see the stuff on the walls or you see the scripts that they show and like,
yeah.
you're like, hey, something weird is happening right now. Number two, and it's probably up there with like my favorite movies outside of the horror genre,
mm-hmm.
it's Get Out.
Good movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
And just one of the most rewatchable movies, I think. Like I could just watch that movie every time and throw it on and I'd be happy. Jordan Peele, I always knew him as the Key and Peele guy.
Yeah,
and
great.
He's just like emerging as one of the best horror directors of all time.
Not that they were like as good as like other skit shows, but like growing up, that was really the only like skit comedic show that was like in our generation.
Right.
Obviously, like we didn't watch Chappelle's Show as it was coming out.
Yeah.
I went back and watched Chappelle's Show and it's funny, but like that wasn't like our time. Right. Key and Peele, I mean, their football name. Their all football time. Name skits.
Kringle McKringle Bear.
They're so good. Yeah. They're so good. And like, yeah, those ones just never miss.
Yeah. Speaking of never missing, this one always freaks me out. I'll probably watch it tonight. The Strangers. We've talked about it before.
Is that your number one?
That's number one. That movie is scary.
Yeah, it's just...
It's because it's the factor of this could happen.
Right.
Where like these random people with scary bags on their head show up and... keep your family captive. Go ahead. I have a crisis going on in my nasal passage right now.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. My number five, I debated whether to make it the new version or old version, but I'm going to go with the old version and new. I'm just going to take both of them.
Okay.
It's the It.
Okay, It. Yeah. I didn't see the new one.
So the new one is like, the new one is more dramatically scary. They have the music and everything.
Sure.
When I was growing up and I'd watch the old one, by myself as like a 10-year-old, that actually made me hate clowns.
Yeah.
And like, and then like my freshman year at NDSU was when that clown thing was going on around the country. Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone was dressing up as clowns. And I remember like looking like someone at Johnson Hall, like on the other side, the ones that faced the parking lot.
Yep.
There was clowns just like in the parking lot staring at the dorms.
They should have gotten beat up.
Yeah. And then because then like a year later, that's when the It movie came out, the revamped one with Skarsgård.
Yeah.
He's an incredible
It. He crushed it.
Yeah.
And wasn't that an actual thing? Like the clowns were getting killed because they were
beat up.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what do you want?
It's almost,
people don't like clowns.
It's like this horror movie Smile that came out and they're like,
oh,
you remember that? Like the World Series games.
They did the marketing for it.
Yeah.
Too.
They're like smiling into the camera and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my number five. Mostly because the older It, the OG It just gave me like the worst kind of like, nightmares.
I think, that was like my dad's generation. There's always like one defining movie, right?
Yeah.
And like my grandparents' generation was probably The Exorcist. And like that was the first scary. They had like ambulances at the, and now we watch it. We're like,
right. Yeah.
But I think my dad's generation, like It was the true first one that was like, wow, that's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
For sure. Number four, I don't. You're gonna have to like know this movie to know it. The Skeleton Key.
Don't know it.
So it's.
Let me look it up. Go ahead.
Kate Hudson is the main actress.
Okay.
I don't know where the first time I watched this movie. I was young because what was it? 2008.
Five.
Says, yeah. So I was very young when I watched it. Yeah, I was like 8 years old. She is a hospice nurse that goes to this house and basically takes care of this guy's, basically is a hospice nurse, and it's the wife and her husband is the one that needs taken care of. Mm-hmm. And basically it's this old creepy house in the middle of New Orleans. And oh my God, dude, just, and we're giving away plot lines, right? Cause like,
yeah, go ahead.
The movie came out in 2005. So
you should have seen it.
Been out for 17 years.
Okay. Skip if you don't want this, the skeleton key.
Yeah. Pause now if you don't want to hear about the skeleton
30
key.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, now. But yeah, she's basically taking care of him, and all this creepy crap stuff happens throughout the movie. She goes upstairs once, and all these candles are, you know, lit in a circle.
Yeah.
Just like classic cult stuff. And then she learns about, like, the people that used to live in this house, like, hundreds of years ago were, like, slave owners. And, they sacrificed themselves, like, once they got caught because they were doing it, like, after the Civil War or whatever. Sure. So basically, she gets to the end of the movie, and the husband, who she thought was the guy being a creep the whole time, he was actually, like, his wife and the dude that... So this dude hired her to be the hospice nurse. So the wife and him were actually the spirits of the original owners of the house. And they had always sacrificed people to, like, keep themselves alive.
Sure.
So basically the movie ends with those spirits, like, going, like, staying. Because then they actually killed, I think... If I'm remembering this right, they kill Kate Hudson and the husband. So evil actually won. Like, the movie doesn't end good. It ends with, like, oh, they're still going to, like, do this forever and ever.
Right.
So it actually was like, because, you know, like, everyone knows, like scary movies, usually in the end, like,
the good guy wins.
Well, this one is just like, no, they didn't win. Like, these, like, weird slave owner people, they're just going to be, like, sacrificing people forever.
And
because they want to stay in their home.
That's one of the bigger themes. If you're going to end a movie, it's hard to end a movie correctly where nobody gets mad. Just give it an ending. I hate the ambiguous, like, it's up for you to decide. No.
Yeah, no, they killed them off.
Answer, yes or no.
Yeah.
Like, Get Out. Could have ended before the police scene, and it's his brother, or and it's his friend.
Right.
And, like, good one, right? If they just shut it off when the police show up, I would have hated that movie.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me an ending, but that's also my dumb brain who doesn't like to interpret things. So, go ahead.
What was that? Number four?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, number three, Saw.
Okay.
I just like those movies, and they actually scared me because that Tober, the main actor, the guy who plays the Saw.
Right.
I just thought they did it, like, that was another one. When I was younger, the first time I watched it, seeing a guy saw his leg off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And the lighting for it was, like, very creepy too.
They did gore in a unique way.
Yeah.
And
I'm talking about the OG Saw.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've done, like, 10 of them since.
Chris Rock did the last one.
Yeah, and I didn't watch it. I didn't want
the
to.
The funniest, Tobin Bell, that's his name.
Tobin Jake Bell. Saw.
But the funniest part I remember is Scary Movie, and it's Dr. Phil and Shaq walking there, and he just has to make a free throw to free them both.
Well, yeah, but then, like, he cut, Dr. Phil cut his leg off, but it was the wrong leg.
Yeah. Just so dumb.
Okay. Number two, the first Paranormal Activity.
Okay.
I didn't go see it in theaters, but, like, if you go watch, like, people coming out of theaters watching that, it was like back in the day when people watched, like, The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Because it's just something you never saw. And, like, stuff like that, it's tough because, like, you know, it's fake. But so what me and my friends, me and my friends, we, like, we found a way to watch it online,
right.
Or like we like had like we're, like told one of our parents like, oh yeah, like we're just gonna watch like Cars, like, yeah. I mean, we were older than that, but like, sure. We basically just told them we were gonna watch something that we didn't, and we bought the Paranormal Activity and watched it in the basement of their house.
Yeah,
dude,
it had its grips on the nation for a while,
very long,
and it's the found footage, right? It's this. It's the same way Blair Witch was marketed.
Yeah.
It's a cheap way to make a lot of money in the box office. Mm-hmm. I think Paranormal Activity had like a $5 million budget, which is very, very small compared to what it made in the box office.
But they also did it too, where like, since it was so like, oh, we're like, it's just cameras and all that.
Yeah.
So they didn't have the suspenseful music.
Right.
So their jump scares.
Scarier.
Yes. Yeah. So their jump scares were like actual jump scares where like you didn't have, because I think I really like the Conjuring movies, but they do like the cheap jump scares where you're like, they got me. The first Conjuring, there's this scene where he's like walking and all of a sudden a light bulb breaks.
Yeah.
And it's the first one of the movie, but the light bulb breaking is so loud.
Sure.
That like, that's how they get you to jump scare. It's not actually like the demon or whatever it is.
Right.
Paranormal Activity would actually jump scare you.
Oh yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my number two.
I the hard part with found footage is like, there were 9 Paranormal Activities.
Right.
Like they kept writing.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You can't fake the marketing of like, hey, this is,
we should have been a one-off.
We found another footage.
Should have been a one-off. Because, like I said, I'm talking about
Is Paranormal Activity our...
Yeah.
Our It and Exorcist?
Could be.
I think it is.
Probably our Exorcist.
Sure.
Just to a lesser degree. Because it's, well, kind of the same.
You know what I mean? Like that generation defined it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the OG Saw... If they just stopped making Saws after that, great.
And if we were 10 years
stopped,
older,
yeah.
It's probably Blair Witch.
Right. If they stopped making Paranormal Activities,
sure.
If they just had the one,
yeah.
Great. Like, super great movie.
Yep.
My number one is also The Strangers. There was no way to get around it.
Yeah.
I was trying to find one once you said it because I was like, oh, like that. But, like, if you ask people that have watched it, it is the scariest. It's the most unnerving movie you'll ever watch.
I characterize it like this.
Because it's the most realistic.
You watch The Strangers and you get up to check that your doors are locked.
Yeah. And I'm already like that.
Right.
I hate.
Yeah, Jack, like, our last mentioning it, he, like, texts me. He's like, The Strangers isn't that scary.
I hate it.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, we could do, like, a whole nother category. Because, like, I don't think any of these are slashers.
Sure.
I have a couple slashers. Am I not? Slashers are like almost...
You're going to be mad at my bad list.
Slashers are almost like fun.
Sure.
Because it's like a demon type human. Like Michael Myers, I love Halloween movies, like some of them. But like the idea of Michael Myers is hilarious.
Right.
Because we're supposed to think he's a human, but he gets shot in the head and he still survives.
Yeah.
And then like those jump scares aren't as scary because it's Michael Myers. He's more of like a horror movie icon and he is like a scary like figure.
The thought of Michael Myers is scarier than Michael Myers.
Yeah. Oh, and then now we get like hilarious Halloween videos. Like people dressed up as Michael Myers, like doing TikTok dances. Yeah. That stuff gets a cheap pop out of me every time.
Yeah.
Like it just makes me laugh.
The TikTok sound when he's wearing like a Michael Myers mask and it's folded and he's like, hey guys, wanna go scaring like that.
The people that are doing tricep pushdowns in the gym in like a stabbing motion during Halloween.
It's good.
I mean, I would stay away from those people if I'm actually at the gym.
Yeah.
And I would not record them because they actually could be a serial killer. But seeing them on like Twitter is fine.
You are too physically imposing to be scared of anybody.
I'm scared. Yeah, but I just am. I'm kind of scared of a lot, if we're going to be honest.
Be.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, too big. Thank goodness for Audacity. Wherever you just heard Quinn pick that back up, it like completely lost.
Yeah.
The computer just went into power saving mode.
But it slept on us, but whatever.
Yeah, so we're alive, baby. Back into our talk. We just had a full 5-minute conversation that didn't get recorded. So my number five, number five worst bad is the Halloween movies. And I kind of just put them in this category because it's predictable. You know, God, what's the actress's name?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis, like, drove the stake into Michael. And that's it.
Yeah.
He's finally done.
Right.
And then you get a trailer 8 months later that he's back again. And it just kind of bugged me. But I think they're fun for what they're worth. And you turn it on, it's a fun watch.
Yeah, for sure.
Just in a grand scheme of a movie, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, and I think because like there's been so many people to do like versions of them before.
Yeah.
And they kind of fall into the same category as like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, where I think like everyone knows there's going to be so many of them. And that's kind of like the point.
Was Friday the 13th, is that Jason?
Yeah.
I never really got into those.
No,
I was a Freddy guy and Mike Myers guy.
But we've talked about like slasher movies. I think we just said it. Slasher movies are different because you just know.
Right.
All it is to see how many people get killed.
Correct.
Horror movies, it's usually like a haunting or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's usually not a bunch of people die.
Yep.
Slasher movies, it's almost like comedic in how many people like they like try to like kill or whatever.
Yeah.
Freddy versus Jason. I think that was like 2000 and it might have been 2000, yeah. 2002, three. Uh-huh. That's like one of those movies where it's like, it's kind of just like a like fun to watch movie. Right.
Yeah.
Cause it's like the two evil guys are now like enemies or whatever.
But. And that's what some of these are. They're so bad. They're fun.
Yeah.
Which is another category in its
own. I disagree with you saying all Halloween movies, but that's okay. I get your point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four, Final Destination.
Yeah.
Mainly because I have too much anxiety living day to day.
Yeah.
Already that like now when I drive behind a logging truck.
How many times? I was just going to ask. How many times in your, dude, the other, not the other day. First of all, when I say the other day, it could mean yesterday, could mean August.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The other day I was driving
8 years ago.
Yeah. The other day I was driving behind this truck that just had rebar.
Oh.
Pointed directly at me, and I just think of all those Final Destination
movies.
That's where it
is.
Yeah, getting what was it? This is also me and Kendra just talked about Final Destination. The girls that got like locked inside of the tanning booths,
yeah,
and they just fried, yeah. Like,
and then
or just falling off roller coasters. Classic.
I think it was the first one, but like the tire going into the stands, yeah. at the race car.
It's almost like, do you remember 1,000 Ways to Die?
Yes.
Dude, those shows, hilarious.
Just like ultimate dumb Spike TV shows.
Dude, by the way, Spike TV, they had a run.
Oh, with MXC.
Was that like the...
It was the Japanese game show, yeah, and it has English.
It was
English,
so
dude.
Good.
It's just so offensive.
It was basically like their version of Jackass.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was like Wipeout, what it was.
Yep.
And... Then Pros versus Joes.
Yes.
That was so good. Bring back Pros versus Joes.
Who would be on it now?
Like Urlacher.
I guess. Because it
was old guys.
It was retired pros.
Yeah, I remember.
We're current pros.
Like,
just put Brock Lesnar on there against anybody.
Yeah, one of them was rebounding against Dennis Rodman. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
That's a conversation for a different podcast, but... Halloween, Final Destination, not my cup of tea movies. Number three is Paranormal Activity.
Oh, boo.
I just like, they ran it into the ground so much and it was just like,
okay, that's different than mine then. Cause like, I'm just talking about singular movies.
Yeah, sure. I'll talk about the first one. I didn't like it.
Oh, you suck.
I don't know. It just wasn't, like I said, I like a different kind of. I think some of it was so ridiculous that you're like, I don't buy this at all, which is probably my issue with it.
In my defense, I have not watched Paranormal Activity probably since like the third time I watched it,
right.
Which was probably like in the same year that I
watched
it came
it.
Out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Number two are the Conjuring movies.
Yeah.
I just like, you get into religion and a bunch of weird stuff and didn't really dig those. Number one, Curse of La Llorona. Just a singular movie. It was one of the worst movies
I've
ever
heard
seen.
Of that in my life.
I think it was in the Conjuring universe, cinematic universe. But like, La Llorona is an old like, what do they say, mythical like, chupacabra and stuff like that, where like you can summon her and she's an old nun that died in a horrible way and she'll kill you, like Bloody Mary. You know what I mean? Like Bloody Mary.
Right.
And it was just the worst movie of all time. A lot of it was just like cheap jump scares, and that is not, do something with the actual substance of the movie. Don't do that.
Yeah. They did have some good jump scares though.
Yeah.
Was that your number one?
Yeah.
All right. Not list for horror movies. My number five, Cabin Fever. It was just a bunch of people that like got some sort of like disease and they thought they were seeing things and they were like, they all kind of went crazy. I don't know. A lot of those like cabin themed horror movies, like all came out after The Strangers. Cause it's like people watched it and they were like, oh,
Last
we should
House
make
on
like
the
a,
left.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
I was trying to find it. The one where like the movie poster, the cabin is like a Rubik's cube. And
I don't know, because some of those were like, okay, and then like horror movies, like people started making like not comedic horror movies, as in like scary movies, whatever.
Yeah.
But they started like trying to make horror movies, like they tried to like give funny lines. So then they would be like in the categories, it would say comedy, comma, horror. Right. And all those movies suck.
Yeah.
Because it's movies that try to be scary too. It's like I said, it's not like scary movie. Like it's not and those movies.
I think Scream is to blame for that because they I nailed guess. It.
Yeah.
The horror comedy.
They were good.
Yeah. But
and I've heard they just came out with a show on Netflix last year. Mm-hmm. I've heard that's very good.
Might have to check that out.
Yeah. Number four, Jeepers Creepers. I just thought the monster was, it looked like not animated, but it just looked like they were doing too much to
Jeepers, it. Creepers.
Yeah.
And he has that old truck, right? They like chase yes. him down. I've never seen the whole thing. I think that has Justin Long in it, right? The guy from Dodgeball.
One of them might. Yeah. That's another one where like that one, like, so Paranormal Activity, Halloween, Friday the 13th, all those, they made more of those because the first couple were so good.
Right.
Jeepers Creepers made more and they weren't good.
Right.
Like not even the first one.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that happened, but. Number three, See No Evil. Have you ever heard of it? Main character, Kane.
Really?
Yeah. It was one of those where like the WWE like got into like making movies.
Yeah.
And I think it's a remake of like an original See No Evil movie, but like it just wasn't.
Sure.
Yeah. It just sucked.
Shut up, Kane. Yeah. There was a 1971 See No Evil.
Yep. Number two, I'm just taking the one movie. Just came out. If you want to hear a full description of it, you know, we're not promoting other podcasts, but just go listen to last week's episode of Bussin' with the Boys with Will Compton, Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
It's
no free shout outs.
No. It's Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. I'm a fan of all the Halloween movies.
Yeah.
Not because they're scary, but because like I thought, so John Carpenter did the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then like other people did like all the rest of the ones in the 80s and 90s.
It's like an intellectual property that they can buy up and have other directors
do. Rob Zombie did the Halloween 1 and 2 in the early 2000s to late 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, Carpenter came back. He said, I'm going to make three movies. Halloween Returns, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
He did Halloween Returns in 2018 and it was good. Like, I thought it followed, like, it was an actual plot.
Yeah.
Like, it actually picked off to where his first movie ended.
Sure.
So he did a big, like, time jump.
Sure.
And, it like, most of the plot line made sense. And obviously, like, Michael doesn't get killed. He's still out on the loose.
And this is what, like, God, what's the, they call it, like, retconning?
Yeah.
It gets rid of, this basically implies this new timeline that the Rob Zombie movies didn't happen.
Or the ones in the 80s and
90s. Right.
Because, like, he didn't write them.
Yeah.
Halloween Kills picks up with, because Halloween Returns ends with like Lori,
yep.
her daughter and her granddaughter. Lori basically lives in this house in the woods and she's been prepping for 40 years. She's like a doomsday prepper, except it's not the end of the world she's prepping for. It's Michael Myers returning from like the mental institution or the prison, whatever he was in.
Yeah.
So she basically built this house over the last 40 years and made a cage at the bottom.
I did see that one.
So basically the movie, the first remake that Carpenter did ends with them trapping him in there, lighting the house on fire.
Right.
Well, Halloween Kills picks up with him. Michael ended up, you know, getting into some kind of like, it actually made, cause like Laurie had all these like compartments where the guns went into.
Yep.
So he went into that compartment. The fire department got called. Cause like, they didn't tell anyone they were trying to burn Michael Myers.
Right.
So then the movie picks up, Halloween Kills. I think it was in 2021. I think it was this last year. The fire department goes in there. They put out the fire, and then he just kills, like, the entire fire department.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So, like, actually makes sense. And then that whole movie is basically the town trying to catch him.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
But my point is,
I've seen all three of these.
Halloween Kills picks up where Halloween Returns ended.
Yep.
So Halloween Ends just came out. It picks up 40 years later.
Right.
And if you watched Halloween Kills, it doesn't even give you, like, they do no, like, sort of, like, recap of what's happened in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You just...
It was a weird timeline jump in Halloween Ends.
And the first 50 minutes, there's no Michael Myers. They try to make this other kid a serial killer in the movie.
Yeah, well, don't spoil too much, because it is fairly new.
I don't care. It sucked.
But that whole timeline where, like, Mike passes on his powers. It was just like...
Well, and then they made him an old man.
Right.
Part of the mystique of like the Michael Myers character is like him like always like not being injured. So like just keep it going.
But also...
Don't show him injured.
I would be mad if he was still like a 30-year-old dude,
I guess. But they made him look like a, you know, can't say it, but it, yeah.
The worst part is, like, the movie is called Halloween Ends, and she said that this is her last one. So you know what's going to happen. And it's just like, can we make it more exciting to get there?
At this point, I hope someone just, you know, picks it up in 5 years and just redoes it again.
By the way.
Because it sucked. The ending sucked. Everything about that whole movie sucked. Nothing about it was good. Not one part.
I know See No Evil was bad because it has a 5 out of 10 on IMDb, a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes, but 80% of Google users like this movie. So gross. I know it's like so bad that it's good.
The wrestling nerds.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
This is a good movie.
What am I at? Oh. Oh, number one, Jaws. That's a horror movie. That counts as a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's a shark, people. It's not scary.
You're going to get yelled at.
Oh, a bunch of olds are going to come yell at me? Fine. Yeah, yeah. My at is MQA_63 on Twitter. If you think Jaws is a scary movie, you haven't been through enough in life.
Yeah, I guess.
So there.
I like, my day-to-day is scarier than Jaws.
It's a shark.
Yeah.
Kill it.
Yeah.
Or move away from the water.
Great song on there, though.
What is it? Yeah, I mean, the music is kind of cool.
But
it's people used to think Jurassic Parks were scary.
Yeah, that's
the world was just, people think the world is soft now. Hey.
Yeah, you like couldn't flush a toilet on TV back then.
Yeah.
You couldn't like say crap.
This movie didn't make my list at all, but it was probably the scariest I've ever been watching a horror movie in my entire life. I was at my buddy's, how do I say this? I was at my friend's house, Marcus.
Okay.
My friend Marcus's house. There we go. We were like 12, 13 years old. Do you remember the movie One Missed Call?
No.
So basically, the premise of the movie is ridiculous. People had phones. This was when phones started to get popular. So it was kind of like, it almost, looking back at it, felt like a propaganda against phones. Mm-hmm. So people would get a phone call, but it wasn't the ringtone. Like, it was a different ringtone than the one they had set. Mm-hmm. And basically, I want to play it, but obviously we probably can't. But it was a ringtone. And basically, when you got that ringtone, it was from like, because like old flip phones, it had the time and date on your phone.
Yeah.
So you'd look at the phone with this weird ringtone that isn't yours, and it had the time and date, but the time and date was always in the future. And basically, that's the like date you died. So then they would like show that person dying that day. Sure. We are like almost. Oh. Yeah. So.
Just know it's over. That's scary. I don't want to look at
that. So we're towards the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And we hear it.
Oh no.
It's in the house.
What?
We hear the ringtone in the house. And it's just me and him. We're like 12 or 13. Maybe probably not even. Well, we are, because we had phones. So we're like checking our phones. We're like, what? Like, and it like a whole like 2 minutes goes by and the ringtone just doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. So we're legit freaking.
Yeah, of course.
All of a sudden we hear like a giggle.
Yeah.
His big sister had snuck down behind the couch, bought the ringtone, and was playing it on her phone.
That's the best. That's awesome.
She got us good.
As the oldest sibling, that's a great big brother.
Yeah.
Big sister.
She got us good because we were scared.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love scaring people, but I hate being scared. So, like, I can't remember. All right. Sorry for that weird cut. We are having some strange technical difficulties, ones I am not of suit to figure out. So hopefully this is recording and you're hearing us intro. Time for fat guy talk. We're going to talk about best and worst stardom, situm, candy.
Hell yeah.
And I'm talking candy like I have different choices for, like, if I go to a gas station on July 17th, right? But candy, when you get home, when you open the pillowcase, and this is what you see, this is how I ranked them. Let's start with good, and then go bottom to top.
Yeah.
Number five, Swedish Fish. I like a little mix-up in there. Swedish Fish rock, and you get a little packet with, like, six of them in there. Don't make that face at me. Swedish Fish are good.
They're good, but they're on top five.
Yeah, they are. Number four is Twix.
Twix is good.
Because Twix is a better Kit Kat.
I very much disagree.
It's chocolate, a crunch, but it has caramel. So I like Twix better than Kit Kat. That was fighting for the last spot in my. I'm a chocolate guy. So,
you still like Kit Kat though?
Of course. Okay. Yes, Kit Kat's not in like the bottom five.
I mean, I don't want to like overreact, but friendship is on the rocks if you don't like Kit Kat.
Number three, Snickers.
Yeah.
Always happy to pull the Snickers out of the bag. I think that's just old reliable. Like, it's just it's John Kruk. It's not pretty. It's batting 325. Number two, and this is a variation, but like I said, you get this in the trick-or-treat bag. The Reese's Peanut Butter Pumpkins is so much better than a peanut butter cup.
They're the best.
So good.
Well, it's like the pumpkins in the trees.
Yeah.
That they do at Christmas just because it's like the filling.
The
is just
eggs around Easter.
Oh, the eggs are probably number one as far as like seasonal variations of Reese's.
And hey, Reese's, I don't know a lot about business. Done it for 2 years. Make your staple that proportion of chocolate and peanut butter that is in these eggs.
Maybe.
They'd sell a lot more.
Yeah.
But number one, I won't yell at you. Reese's too much because I've stood on the desk and yelled to the mountaintop, said, this is the best candy bar you can buy.
Oh.
And they're just now making it into fun size sizes. Buddy, the Reese's fast break.
Okay, so yeah, I was confused. Obviously, you and your friend Mike Golick Jr.
Yep, me and my good buddy.
We're talking about this. I was confused because growing up, I did not ever receive a fast break for my Halloween candy.
It's a newer variation into the Halloween. Me and Julia bought a bag of fun size fast breaks.
Okay. Because I was confused.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what neighborhoods were you going to where they were giving out fast break candy bars?
Oh, but my dad would drop us off at the rich neighborhoods and say, see you in 2 hours. I'll pick you back up at the gate. It was. Yeah.
Doesn't have to worry about anyone doing any weird stuff in like Southwest Fargo.
Eagle Run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to my Eagle Run people.
Yeah. Even Eagle Run's like old town now.
Yeah. I don't even, like, what is it, like Rocking Horse out way south, but know. Whatever it is. Fast Break, man, is the best candy bar in the world.
Yeah. No, candy bar for sure, it's like up there.
Yeah.
But that's what, like, when you were talking about that, I was like, since when did they start giving those up for Halloween?
This is so trivial, and like, do normal people eat candy?
What do you mean?
Like, if they go to the gas station, like people, I'm buying something. Like
people that go to Crisp and Green?
Yeah, gross. Get out of my face.
They probably don't. I like Crisp and Green, but the people that go to Crisp and Green every day probably don't eat candy like me.
Go to Mahana Fresh instead. But, like, that's a free shout-out. Shout-out my guy Cooper.
Yeah. No, it drives Kendra crazy. I told her it's because when I was growing up, my dad, because, like, we would always go to gas stations to go to the bathroom. My dad, like, pretty much told me that it was not respectful to go in to somewhere, use their bathroom, and not buy anything. So I...
That's the most old head thing of all time.
So she's like, well, why did he say that? Because I think like where he grew up. So he grew up like in like Utah, LA, those places. They're more than here. I think gas stations, like the further south you go, basically, gas stations are almost like a mom and pop thing.
Sure.
Where here, it's not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Here, it's not. But like in LA, and like you hear like we both listen like comedian podcasts. Like, stores out there, like especially like old gas station stores, like those are like more mom and pop than it is like big corporate, like whatever. So I think that's where he got it from.
Yeah.
But like obviously up here it's not like you go to Tesoro or whatever, but
dude, but I'm like I'm walking out with a sweet and a salty.
Yeah. And a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Or a Monster. Like no, it's a $10 affair.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But she's bought into it now.
That being said, next time you guys go into a gas station, just grab even a little. You don't need the king size. Just grab a Reese's Fast Break. It is the best candy bar in the world.
It's good.
Just trust me on this. I know what I'm talking about. That's my top five candies.
Okay.
Should I do a rundown here quick? Fast Break, seasonal peanut butter, Reese's, Snickers, Twix, Swedish Fish.
Got it. So mine, my top five basically is... I'm thinking Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, you know, I need to run through this bag. I'm not saving candy for like weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Like I'm picking the best stuff that I can just chew through in a few seconds and then I can move on to the next one.
Mainly because my parents would steal the candy from me.
So this is going to be, My list might be a little polarizing, but this is just my top five. And these are all mini sizes of hot things. Take. Yeah. Number five, Crunch Bar, the mini Crunch Bars.
That's a depression candy.
I just like them.
Depression era candy.
Number four, Reese's. I just put normal Reese's.
Okay.
Because like growing up, I don't even think they used to do pumpkins. I'm also thinking of things when I was growing up.
Sure.
I don't think they did pumpkins.
I hate the tinfoil wrapped ones.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Small little cups.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. A lot of work, little reward.
Yeah.
It's like eating pistachios.
Yeah. Number three, just mini M&M packs. Rip them open, chug it. I'm done.
Chug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, the Nerd boxes.
This list stinks.
Number two, Nerd boxes.
This list stinks.
Number one, Kit Kats.
Okay. Kit Kats are good.
Yeah. Sorry.
I like Twix better.
Sorry I didn't, you know, go trick-or-treating at Eagle Run.
Oh, my God. Save it. Yeah,
crazy.
Jesus. Okay.
What's your not five?
You tried to dunk on me for Swedish Fish and you have Nerds in there.
Like I said.
Horrible.
They didn't give out Swedish Fish and Lamore.
Dude, what'd they hand out? Like pickled pig's feet?
No, we got king-size candy bars.
In Larimore?
That's Wishick. Like their weird sauerkraut taste.
Wishick, best sausage in the land. They make good. Besides the point. Sure. Okay, number five for worst, Three Musketeers.
Yeah, not great.
It's just, it's like a diet candy bar. And yeah. It's bad. Along the same vein, you take a Three Musketeers, you add caramel, it's Milky Way. Get that out of my face.
That's your number four?
Yeah.
Yep.
And the worst part about Milky Way is they made the dark chocolate version, and now you get a lot of that, and it's bad. Number three, Whoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Whoppers stink. They're those bad. Malt balls.
Yeah, they're bad.
Gross. Number two, Dots.
Yeah.
Barf.
They just stick to your teeth everywhere.
Yeah, they're horrible, and it doesn't taste like anything. It's like chewing on a mouth guard.
Yeah.
Number one, and if you say otherwise, you just want to be a contrarian. Candy corn is disgusting.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember getting candy corn when I went out trick-or-treating.
Well, I've gotten the, like, you can't do this anymore. Well, you probably can, but, like, the homemade packs where you get, like, a popcorn ball and a Ziploc bag of candy corn.
Yeah.
Get out of my face.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the homemade stuff, just, I feel like 10 years ago, people were worried about, like, razor blades, and now, like, they're worried about,
is there fentanyl?
Fentanyl? Yeah, I mean.
Not funny.
No.
Sorry for the joke. I'm sorry, it's not funny.
It really isn't. Number five, Good and Plenty.
Wrong. Black licorice is awesome. It is, dude. Black licorice is good. Man. Give me some snaps, too.
It's just crazy that, like, we've known each other for so long, and I thought I was getting into this with a friend of mine, not some pompous ass who went trick-or-treating in rich neighborhoods.
You just bragged about getting full-size candy bars, and you don't like black licorice.
Good and Plenty stinks. Number four, Hot Tamales.
Yeah, bad.
But, like, if you actually saw a hot tamale pack, like, because you know that, like, they gave out mini packs.
Yep.
Just throw them out. No one's going to eat them.
You would get the Red Hots, too, the Meteor. Ugh. Oh, barf. Barf.
Number three, I don't mind them, like, in general, but when I was a little kid, and if this was in my mix, I was pissed. Junior Mints.
Yeah. Junior Mints are gross.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want them.
Yeah.
I got, like Kit Kats, Reese's.
Let me eat this,
like,
chocolate-covered toothpaste.
Yeah.
Yum.
What really sucks is that you're, like, at the end of your bag, and all you have are the bottom fives. That's all that's left.
Correct.
I'm eating Junior Mints and tamales for a week.
No, I would just throw it away.
Yeah. No, my number two is Whoppers.
Yep. Whoppers are gross.
And my number one were Dum Dums. I just didn't, like, don't give me a sucker, like, for Halloween.
And if you, there are better suckers to give. The caramel apples. Those are good.
Those are classic. Those are, like, what you should be giving out for Halloween.
Or the Blow Pops, whatever those are called.
Blow Pops or Tootsie Pops.
Right.
Because, like, Blow Pops, you have the gum that you can chew on, even though that gum is disgusting.
Gross. You just swallow it.
Yeah. The Tootsie Pops, they're good. And then you get a Tootsie Roll at the end.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's even more of a plus.
Can I let you know how I knew I was marrying a serial killer?
Oh, sure.
Her favorite candy.
Oh, no, Julia.
Is Almond Joy.
Oh, I don't mind Almond Joy.
You're gross, too. I don't like either of you.
Almond Joy's good.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's coconut and almonds and chocolate. Barf.
oh, three good things.
Shut up.
That taste good all together.
I hate you.
Chocolate, good. Coconut, good. Almond, good. Julie, I'm on your side.
I don't like either of you.
Almond Joy's good.
You know how this is going to go now. Kendra's going to tweet and be like, Almond Joy's disgusting. Like,
no, she likes Almond Joy.
You people are gross, man.
She calls herself half Samoan because she's married to me. So
that's how that works.
Yeah.
That's an old candy. That's an
Almond Joy?
Yeah, you might as well eat like Necco wafers.
No, Good and Plenty is an old candy.
No.
Same with Junior Mints.
Yeah, Junior Mints.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not 85 years old and I don't like your Good and Plenty.
Black licorice is. I'm going to get some on the way home. Black licorice is good.
Speaking of licorice,
that's why I like egg bombs.
Oh, yeah. What? Good and Plenty is honestly, I mean, I don't know. I would say something, but whatever.
What do you have to say?
I don't know. Good and Plenty is something like Brett Favre would like.
I can't believe you just said that. You and Brett Favre, buddy. I can't believe you just said that.
Hey, speaking of Brett Favre.
Don't move on from that.
No, speaking of Brett Favre.
Don't put that evil on me.
Speaking of Brett Favre, there were plenty of game day signs about Brett Favre at Jackson State this weekend.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out those people.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking a good, like a terrible situation and just, you know, making light of it.
That POS deserves to be.
Because we can all, I think as a society, we can just pile on to Brett Favre forever.
Yep.
So we just keep doing that, you know.
Until
the Packers, you know, put up a statue of him.
Right. Ross himself would do it.
Yeah. His muscles are probably going to look super big in that statue from, you know.
Stop it.
Holding all the poor people down for all those years.
Jesus Christ.
You know, he get Jack doing that, I guess.
All right.
This Packers
is
legend.
This is falling off the wheels.
This is what happens when we go too long.
Yeah, but your take stink. Black licorice is awesome. Almond Joy's bad. Swedish fish are good. The Bison are good. They're going to beat Western Illinois, who's bad.
Oh, they need to win by, like, realistically, like, what's a score
a
that you would feel good about?
A 28-point win. Four touchdowns.
Okay.
I think I feel good about that.
Yeah. I really want them to...
Would I like it to be 48-0 at halftime? Yes. That would make me feel much better.
Yeah. We usually don't see that with division games, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, big one. Not really a big one. Just you have to win. You have to play clean. You have to come out with a W. Come out healthy because Southern Illinois and UND are kind of two, I don't want to say buzzsaws, but they're definitely two games you have to be locked in for to end the season. So,
and we should, I don't know, maybe we should start campaigning now for game day to come for NDSU-UND.
That's rivalry week everywhere else. They're not coming here.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I thought we were a week ahead because we do playoffs.
Possibly, but I don't know. Whatever it is.
Maybe.
They won't come. That's the best story. Well, one.
Yeah, because like they could, I mean, obviously.
Completely ignorant to the rest of the college football schedule. I have no idea who else is playing. Yeah. But if it is the same week as like Ohio State, Michigan, they're not coming here.
Yeah.
Come see us. Big Dyke Barbecue at... the old Chicken Coop in Grand Forks.
Yeah.
The 4th and the 5th, come buy some barbecue sauce if you're bored. Want to kill some time before the Bison play at 1 o'clock on Saturday in Macomb.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this, we will be posting Wednesday mornings on all socials. Yep. So if you just want to, you know, retweet on Twitter and share on Facebook on our post, that'd be awesome.
And send in some topics you want to hear. Sit them, start them. Some things you want to hear me and Quinn rank. I think it'll be a fun topic to get you guys involved with. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Go Bison.